What's going on? This is Dr. Ferguson, and welcome to the Super Fantastic Show. I'm with my man and co-host, B. Moore. Here's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about what happens when you go too damn far. Yeah, sometimes you go too damn far. Sometimes you go too damn far with yourself, and sometimes you go too damn far with somebody else, and you guys end up going too damn far at the same damn time. Well, let me tell you what happens to me. I did something that I've never done before. I got myself up all the way to 249 pounds. I was getting ready to hit the 250 mark.
What's your ideal? What do you walk around at?
In Tampa, Florida.
Weight-wise, man.
All right. I'm around 230-ish. I think my gone too damn far number is like 237, 238.
Okay.
At 245, that's when my back starts to hurt. And everybody who's overweight knows what I'm talking about when your back starts to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Back starts hurting, then I got to take that deep breath before I tie my shoes. You know, the... Everybody who goes to church on Sunday morning knows what it's like when you got to bend over and you got to put the shoes on. You got to hook those two fingers into the back heel. And when you bend over, you go, huh! And it...
The dress pants saga.
Oh, listen.
Dress pants are unforgiving. Dress pants will let you know you've gone too damn far.
Right, no elastic in those joints.
Zero.
Done. They're not like the Sansa belt joints my dad used to wear back in the day. You know, the kind that you pull over your navel. You know the old school joints, bro. The one you pull high. Them high navel pants, buddy.
Sound like pants say, what's up
before you walk in the door.
Good grief.
Well, my going too damn far number is around the high 230s, and I got up to 249. And when it happened, I asked myself, man, what do I need to do to get myself back in order? Because the things that I did in my 20s, they don't work in my 30s.
And you're damn near 40s?
Right, exactly. Anything over 35 is damn near 40. Mm. I think the thing that is working for me right now is I finally got a buy-in from my spouse.
Okay.
Because usually my wife does her own thing, and I try to bring something up, and she's like, I'm not doing that. And then I'm not going to argue with my wife, because anybody who, once you do that, you've gone too damn far. And then if you go too damn far with that and you wait, then you actually start going too damn far with two things at the same damn time. And you don't need it. But man, my wife actually bought in to a healthy eating program for the house. So the first thing that I think you need would help me is to get an agreement, get a buy-in. The second thing is train for a half marathon.
Okay, wait. You skipped right past that. So what's the buy-in like from Tracy?
Oh, the buy-in is you do what I say.
Wait, so before when you went through this, she wasn't buying in, and that impacted your weight because what your spouse does impacts your results.
It does.
Right.
I mean, for a fact.
Right.
For a fact. I mean, somebody goes to a dinner, a late night dinner or something. They bring back some garlic rolls and a filet mignon steak, you know butterflied rare. Hey, you're gonna walk in the kitchen and go get it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how hardcore you are in your program. There's certain things that you don't need around you while you're trying to restructure your thought processes and kind of recalibrate.
Right.
And when everybody's on the same page, it just works better. A house divided can't stand. There's nothing like when you and your spouse and the children are all on the same page. Just think about it. When it comes to travel, like I got to travel, you got to travel. Sometimes your wife has to travel. My wife has to travel. Everybody's all over the place. The kids have activities. The house is haywire. But during the summer, if you jump on a Disney cruise or you all plan a vacation somewhere and everybody's working on the same thing at the
same damn time,
the things just... Things just work a lot smoother.
Right.
They just work a lot smoother. And sometimes life just has you going in all these different directions. And we had to sit down and we had to get some buy-in on the program.
Okay, so you were at your highest, which is around 250, and somehow you got Tracy to buy into working with you or was she at the same time, or was she getting out of the way? Was she going to also be, you know, dropping fat? Had she gone too damn far at the same time, or was she just agreeing to support you in what you were doing?
My wife is never going to say that she went too far, and you and I are married, and we are never going to say that our wives went too damn far.
Yeah, not in public. No.
Listen, and if you're smart, you'll do exactly like me and B do, and we will also practice not saying shit in private, okay? So I'm not even going to say that in private.
Right.
But what I would tell you this is my wife, her figure has been further enhanced through 7 pounds of weight loss.
Okay.
It has been further enhanced. And she actually enjoys getting on the scale now.
Okay.
How about that?
I hear it.
Right. Now, one of the things that helped us was a goal. Okay. We always have to put small miniature goals in place. And we're getting ready to go to Trinidad for Carnival. So that always helps. But the first thing is get an agreement. Second thing is train for a half marathon. When I do my half marathons, I do them walking. I walk them nice and easy. When I mean nice and easy, I actually did a 20-minute pace, and that is nice and easy. It's almost too slow, okay? But I walked it nice and slow, put on some nice music. I enjoyed myself. Took about 4 hours and some change. I was not racing. I am not looking to beat anybody in anything. I have enough medals and rings and watches and jackets in my closet, and I am okay. I'm not trying to beat anybody. I am in the fight against obesity, and I am always on the losing end. And I'm trying to scratch, scrape, and claw so that I can get myself on the plus side. Not in weight, but in terms of the fight against obesity.
Right.
Progress. You want to get some progress. Get an agreement, half marathon walking program. And the third thing that you need to do, and if you're a woman, I just believe in this, you just need to buy a new pair of shoes.
Interesting.
It has no impact on the training program, but it always seems to help my wife. I don't know if it will actually do anything, but women seem to feel better, and feeling better is important too. So just go buy some new shoes.
Did you buy yourself some new shoes?
I did buy some new shoes as well.
What did you buy?
I bought some new Nike Vomeros because Nike Vomeros are my favorite running shoe.
Okay.
And I bought some Nike Vomeros. Okay. And just by buying some new shoes, I just felt better. I felt like I had to put the new shoes on and actually do something. Mm. So half marathon program, new pair of shoes, agreement with the spouse.
I hear it. That's fantastic. Mine are a little more tactical than yours, but I too have gone too damn far most recently. So for me, the holidays are compounded because not only do we have Thanksgiving, which Thanksgiving at my house is fantastic. If you ever get an invite from me to come over for Thanksgiving, or if you ever get an invite to come to my house, period, hope it's for Thanksgiving because, hey, we throw down a couple times a year. We throw down for Thanksgiving. We throw down for New Year's. Now, because Thanksgiving and New Year's are pretty close together, and because I really, really like to cook, you know, it's not just when the meal hits the table. I'm cooking, I'm tasting. I'm cooking, I'm tasting. I'm experimenting. I'm cooking, I'm tasting. Dr. Ferguson and I are both engineers. Okay, so my life is an experiment. I'm always tinkering with something. And that just means more calories are going in. So around the holidays, I've got Thanksgiving, I've got Christmas, I've got New Year's. Those are three holidays back to back. Okay, right after which I've got my son's birthday, my wife's birthday, my dad's birthday. Okay, so I already know. I'm not even going to fight up against it. I know that come mid-January, if I get on the scale, and that's a big if, I've gone too damn far. I already know it. I expect it. It's not a big surprise. Here's how I know. I have dress pants. My dress pants, if you catch me on the wrong day, I might poke your eye out if the button on my dress pants pop off in January. January's tough. So I recently got on the scale. And it's January now, and I saw myself 9 pounds, though. 9 pounds. Now, that might not be a lot, depending on where you're coming from. For me, I know where my fat storage areas are. Genetically, my dad, my brother, and I store our body fat in our lower abdomen. From the belly button down, you know, that's where we're going to store it. So when I go too damn far, I just don't like the way I look. I take off my shirt in order to take a shower. I look in the mirror and I'm man, you've gone too far.
Really? And if you turn around, you can see that back fat.
Oh, and I'm disgusted. I look at it, I'm like, man, what are you thinking? This is horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to just make a small announcement. As you can probably recognize and tell, that Coach B. Moore has not given us a weight as of yet.
Oh, and you're not getting one.
And he said 9 pounds, but he ain't give no weight. My man ain't getting no weight.
Mm-mm. Okay, all right. Here's my weight. I feel, I walk around, if I'm not working for anything special, if I'm not training for some event, or if I'm not going to, you know, be in some type of photo shoot, you know, if I'm not running some kind of Tough Mudder or Go Ruck Challenge or something like that, if I'm just walking around on an average day.
Hold on. Listen. You know, you and I are boys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you how you just kind of slid in your whole workout resume.
Hey, you're welcome.
If I'm not doing a Go Ruck Challenge or a Tough Mudder event, or if I'm not preparing for a photo shoot, Hey, man, just give us goddamn weight.
I'm walking around, I like to walk around one.
No way. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been no weight. Listen, we've been going on with this shit now. We still don't have no weight right now. listen, we still. Right. Listen, it would be a
which
super
weight
fantastic
do you want first?
Issuance.
Which weight do you want first?
Oh my!
You want the gone too damn far weight?
Watch this. How about the truthful one?
The gone too far weight or the walk around weight? Which one do you want?
I want both of them, please, sir.
That's what I'm trying to give you. I'm gonna let you know. Category one, category two. Category one weight, I like to be in the 170s. I'm 6'1". I try to stay lean. I like to live around between 171 and 179. My gone too damn far weight is 190. Okay? If I get 189, 190, I feel like I'm looking a little on the chunky side. I don't like it because I know exactly where it goes. Even I could be very strong still. You know?
Oh,
I could look
gosh.
Great in other
oh,
areas,
gosh.
But that stomach
oh,
shows
gosh.
Up. I don't like it.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Oh my gosh. When is he going to tell us how much he weighs?
I just told you.
No, you just, you, listen, you
189
just. 189
was my gone too damn far weight.
You gave me some categories between what you like to walk around at and what you're gone too damn far numbers. What is the weight,
189.
Coach B?
I'm going to get back to 169 just to do it. Okay?
Thanks, man. You know what?
And all the brothers is talking, and a lot of brothers wearing them extra, extra larges right now talking bullshit about me because, hey, oh, you skinny. No, I will take you to the gym and walk you around, try to keep up.
You turned into a client just now.
You're welcome. No, I'm not. I'm winning. I refuse.
we're both winning.
Yeah. All right, look. Okay.
At the same damn time.
All right. Now, here's what I do. When I know I've gone too damn far, like right now, I got a 3-step process. Number one is check yourself. I need to know where am I exactly. I can't find myself if I don't know where I am. I need to know, you know, hey, I'm in the woods somewhere. Let me locate where exactly I am. So I need to find out where am I. So I'm going to weigh myself. I'm going to check either the fit of some clothes that I know how they fit, or I'm going to do a girth measurement at my belly button, maybe at my shoulder measurement, and maybe one thigh. I'm going to find out where exactly I am. And then I'm going to also check and see where I am in terms of my intake. What am I doing? What's my real intake? How much water have I had yesterday? Won't even ask me today, because if I say how much water did I have today, just that thought alone is going to make me change it. So how much did
Coach,
I really
Coach,
drink yesterday?
Coach, do me a favor, please, because what? I think it's something that you should definitely address.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people? And, you know, there's a faction of people that, you know, both of us have coached, and there's some people who are listening right now that say, I don't want to get on the scale. What do you say to the people who don't want to do the step one?
Well, how are you going to know? There's no progress without measure. So you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it, but I don't want you to do it every day. As a matter of fact, what I want you to do is get on the scale now, and then I want you to take that scale and go put it somewhere inconvenient, because I don't want you to get back on it again for at least a month. All right. The mistake isn't getting on the scale. It's getting on the scale too frequently, or letting it, because there's an emotional component to getting on the scale. Right. If you know you've gone too damn far and you know that already, you have to get on the scale one time right now and then go hide it somewhere. Put it in the trunk of your car. so that it doesn't stare at you when you walk into the bathroom in the morning and you know, make you feel bad. But you have to know where you are. That's my two cents. You may have a different approach. What you got?
I make my clients weigh in every day.
Okay.
And I weigh every day, but I do it for the same. There are two ways to attack it. There's an effective way, okay, and then there's a quantitative way. And we use a hybrid of both approaches, meaning you and I have both been quantitative when it comes to counting calories.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're just qualitative, where we just say, listen, don't worry. Depending on the phase that the client is in, exactly, because it doesn't work for everybody. You say, listen, don't worry about counting calories. I want you to eat everything that's green and everything that's red, mm-hmm. or green and orange. So you got to do that with some people. And then there's some people you say, hey, I want you to weigh in every Monday. Right. Like my mom, I'm training my mom now. My mom does not like getting on the scale every day.
Right.
I can't tell my mom to get on the scale every day. My other clients that come to me, they get on the scale every day because what I like to do is I like to track. And there's a level of accountability that I like to create from the scale, but that's how I present it. If somebody tells me they don't like to weigh every day, I accept that, and I tell them to get on the scale anyway.
Well, you know, what we're hearing also is the difference in our background.
Our approach
you come
is correct.
From competitive athletics yourself, and combat athletics, which have a weight component. You know, you have to make weight. So you're going to be very firm on that. When a lot of times I'm coming from a perspective of someone's coming off the couch or someone's coming off of a medical diagnosis. And you know, it's a different mentality for that person than it is for the person who's just trying to be their absolute best right now. You know what I mean?
I got it. And I use the approach for the person coming off the couch, and I use the approach for the person who is trying to, you know, be a world champion. I use the exact same approach. I will lessen it in terms of the intensity, but I mean, like we talked about before, those are the differences.
Right.
That works for some, and then for some it doesn't.
Hey, you know the best answers to questions start with two words. It depends.
It depends.
You're done right.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So yeah, we differ on that, but it would also depend on who the person is and what the circumstance is. So
correct.
My step one: check myself. Where am I now? I got to get my measurements.
And the bottom line is that, and I don't want people to miss this, Coach B is not saying, we're not having a discussion about weighing and not weighing. What we talked about some differences of weighing and not weighing. But what he is saying is, no matter what you do, you have to take some type of measurement.
You have to measure. Absolutely. There has to be measurement. There's no progress without measure. Period. Okay. So that's my number one. You got to measure. Number two, I'm going to plot a course. And that's going to depend, again, what has worked in the past. I need to know, I already know what has worked in the past. I've been here before. I know what has worked. So I need to do it. And I need to track it. I need to be measuring. That's phase two. So first I measured myself and where I was. Now I'm tracking my behaviors. I need to do those things and I need to track them. Because if I didn't track them, it didn't happen. Okay? And the third thing is I need to ask a friend to be my accountability partner. I need somebody to check me, because I'm going to let myself slide at times. That's how I got in this position in the first place, by letting myself slide. And it's time for no more sliding. So I need somebody to be there. And the big part about accountability partners is, what are the stakes? What's at stake?
What's the agreement?
Yeah, there's got to be an agreement. There's got to be stakes. There's got to be what happens if that happens. That's necessary. So, you know, for example, I've got a buddy who wrote a book recently, and he was bullshitting. It had been far too long that this book had not been making progress. And he's the kind of guy who's, you know, he's a bit of a hippie, right? He's a flower power guy. He's probably listening, and yes, I'm talking about you, buddy. Sorry. So what I had to do is, knowing who he is, I need to know what his currency is, what's important to him. So what I did was I said, look, you're going to send me a check for $500 and you're going to make it out to no one. He said, okay. I said, all right, and we're going to set some deadlines. And if you miss a deadline, we're going to make it so that, hey, there's a little leeway in there. But if you miss this deadline, I'm going to make that check out to a charity that is completely opposite of your perspective in life. You're going to not only lose that money, but you're going to lose it to somebody that you hate to know that they have your money. And that worked. That's it. It's not, it wasn't the money was the currency. It was more important to him that he doesn't give his money to XYZ cause or charity. It was completely opposite. Let's say he was a Republican. I'd give the money to a Democratic National Convention. Or let's say he was, you know, whatever. I'd give it to the opposite. So it just, you know, knowing his currency allowed me to hold him accountable. And that's the same thing. I need somebody in that instance when I've gone too far to hold me accountable to the actions that I'm supposed to be doing to head me in the right direction. That's my 1, 2, 3 steps for when I've gone too damn far.
I tell you what, man, I think we're both in agreement with the one thing that you need. You need an accountability partner, and you have to have some type of agreement in place. That agreement will create the, man, it will create the accountability that you need.
Yep.
And you can only have accountability if something has the ability to be accounted for.
That's
which
right.
Which means that things have to be measured. I also like to provide an effective quality in there by buying some shoes. I mean, when I buy some running shoes, when I see the shoes in there, I know I got to do something with the shoes.
Yeah.
I specifically like to do a half marathon running program. What Coach B says is there has to be some type of program in place. With his friend, he used the deadlines or the milestones which need to be met in order to get his monies. Whatever the thing is, it's the same as a half marathon training program. You put the program in place, and what I usually do is I make people, or what I did myself, is I register for a half marathon. As a matter of fact, I registered for the Miami ING half marathon this weekend and didn't go do the half marathon. I didn't do it.
Why not?
I didn't feel like traveling, and I hurt my hamstring on Tuesday, and I didn't go. But what I did was, because I paid my money and I made the investment and I had trained up to that point, I went outside, got my headphones, plugged it into my phone, put my app on, and walked 13.1 miles.
I saw that. I saw you posted 13.1 done.
Yes, I did it on my own.
There you go.
And I think you and I need to do a virtual marathon. After doing that, I think it'd be absolutely fantastic if the Super Fantastic Show did a virtual marathon.
That'd be a lot of fun. We can get people from all over, you know, everywhere to do it at the same time.
Right. And just like you just talked about the hurt and pain and anguish that your friend would have had to donate his money to a bad cause, maybe we can do something where people can donate money to a good cause.
I love it. We're going to talk about that.
It sounds super fantastic.
That's great.
How about that? How about that? And for listen, just for the folks who this one, and Coach B says I have a churchy speaking style, but just for the churchy folks out there.
That's not what I said. I said you're a preacher in disguise.
Oh, my gosh.
Disguised as a wellness coach.
Oh, my gosh.
Disguised as a judo coach.
Well, listen. If you ever want some scriptural backing for what we're talking about, you got Matthew 18, chapter 19, verse, about two people coming together on a thing, and you have Ecclesiastes 4:9. We'll say two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. So if you ever need some foundational backing for those in the Bible Belt, man, that's what you have. So you got us on here both at the same damn time, and then you have us in here being raw and uncut. And then for those who need a little word to kind of staple down exactly what we said, you have that too. This is Dr. Ferguson, man, and I'm pretty much done.
Hey, this is Coach B, and thanks for joining us at the Super Fantastic Show.
And we're both done. At the same damn time. But before I end, let me say this. 1, 2, 1, 2, and
I say... Super Fantastic Show.